The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. First and foremost, it's Iron Man's birthday. That supersedes the guest list on today's show. Jared Nielsen is turning 30 again, which is great. So congratulations to the Iron Man on his birthday. On today's show, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. All things around the college football landscape. We'll talk about Arizona State's head coaching search. A tremendous victory by the University of Arizona. Have they gotten over the hump, in John's opinion, given they were the worst Division I program in existence just 3 years ago, 2 years ago even, since 70-7. And we will talk about USC and the college football playoff and all of that. Also, Todd Hans is going to be with us today. This Friday is the Legends Lunch for Arizona State. Todd was the quarterback of the Arizona State team in the Fiesta Bowl that 40 years ago took out Oklahoma. So I want to have Todd on, sell some seats. It's a great event to be at if you are into history. If you say you're a Sun Devil fan, yeah, you should go to this event. You're going to meet some people from years past, and that's all straight ahead on today's show. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their support. Had a fine weekend other than I lost my Apple Watch. So yesterday morning, I go for my long bike ride. I love riding my bike. I'm getting to the point in life where I'd like to have an electric bike, but I go for my bike ride. It's cold. So I put on my gloves, got my beanie, got my helmet. I'm out there about ready to take off, and I realize I don't have my watch. And I put in, you know, I always track my stuff on my Apple Watch, my watch. And me being an idiot, I run in here and I grab the watch off the charger and I put it over the glove, not under the glove, because I like to see when I ride. So I go for my ride. I end up over at a coffee shop nearby after doing my thing just to relax, get caught up on my social and email and all that stuff, because I got away a lot this weekend. And I have my earbuds in and I'm doing my thing. I think I had Eminem on and I'm just, you know, jamming away. And I get off the bike and chain it up and a guy says something to me and I can't understand what he's saying. I just kind of look at him and I'm like, okay, whatever. And I take off my gloves and I stick them in my pocket and I go in, I get my coffee. The guy holds the door open for me. He kind of gives me a dirty look like you didn't even really acknowledge me. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because I think I was an idiot yesterday on this one. And that happens a lot in my world. So I get my coffee, I sit and I do my thing, get caught up, go back, get ready to get on the bike and pull out and I don't see my watch. Don't see my watch. And it's like, oh, you know what? I think that guy was probably saying your watch flew off. And I had it over my gloves. And so I'm retracing my steps and I'm really mad. I call my wife and I said, you know, and I'm sure some of you are saying, well, the find a watch, you know, find your device. It's on your phone, right? And I'm thinking that. I did think that. And I open it up and it's all it's showing is my phone and my AirPods, not showing my watch. My day was just shot. And had to pull myself together to watch the Cardinal game. And the Cardinal game in the first quarter set the game of football back. I was kind of wishing the first quarter of the Cardinal game was on Pac-12 network like ASU's was on Saturday, because nobody watched that game probably. And that was a game not worth watching. It was really bad. So I lost my watch. Now the Cardinal game, there's all sorts of angles to go on the deal with the Cardinals. Those of you that have watched me for years and know my deal on the Cardinals is impress me. I'm not impressed by if you're on Amazon. I'm not impressed if you're on Hard Knocks. I want a team that wins every year. It doesn't just sneak into the playoffs. Please give me 12, 13 victories, not excuses, not, well, it's this or it's that or underachieved, so on and so forth. Yesterday was pretty interesting. It was. In spite of the fact it was two backup quarterbacks in the first quarter, neither one looked like they were going to get a win. And it's like, is this going to be a 6-3 game? Really? Colt McCoy came to life. Colt McCoy moved the team up and down the field. Colt McCoy had a presence about him that Kyler Murray does not. The team was not getting penalties, was not shooting themselves in the foot, had four backup offensive linemen out there in the field against Aaron Donald and others. you know, Jalen Ramsey's out on the field. And then in the second half, Colt McCoy is like, yeah, I'm going to start throwing to DeAndre Hopkins. And I don't know, you just throw it up there and he makes plays. And he did. Rondell Moore, very, very much involved in the offense. Rondell Moore had a couple big drops yesterday. James Conner was running the football with authority, a couple touchdowns. And the Cardinals, the Super Cardinals, win yesterday. My Cardinals won yesterday. And so today it's like, oh my gosh, if they could just do this, if they could just do that, and all of a sudden they're going to be back in the race. And that's fine. That's fun. That's the NFL. They play at Mexico City next Monday night. If I'm sounding like it's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. It's a mid-November victory on the road against the Super Bowl champs that were with their backup quarterback. And they had a bunch of injuries and they didn't get production. So the Cardinals won a game, one win. Now, am I to go over the moon excited and start becoming cheerleader with pom-poms saying, boy, I'm really hopeful they win next week? I don't cheer. I'd like to see them play a complete game, start to finish. I think the most intriguing part of this is, does Cliff Kingsbury go back to Kyler Murray? The easy answer after watching yesterday is no. Yeah, but there's a few factors involved here. One of them is, how much are you paying Kyler Murray exactly? One, two, Monday Night Football. Don't think for a minute that the ESPN executives don't want Kyler Murray on the football field. They do. If all week long you're seeing photos of J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins and teasing the upcoming game, Monday night, it's the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey and Jimmy Garoppolo against DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt. They would much rather have Kyler Murray and Jimmy Garoppolo looking at each other and promoting the game because they're going to get a much bigger number. It's just the way the world works. And so I know that. The business side of the NFL knows that. I thought it was interesting where Amazon's people are bitching about their lousy Thursday night games. And now Al Michaels is starting to make fun of it because the games are so bad. So, yeah, it was a very good win yesterday. One win. We should be, you know, saying, hey, it's good performance, good showing. Curious to see if they can make it two in a row next week. Next week's game's somewhat interesting to me just to see who's going to end up being the quarterback. Now, that's about it. I'm not going to sit here and jump up and down and say this is the moment where they got the season turned around. Prove it. Enough talk. Enough hype. Enough, well, we got this many impressions. We got this many clicks on this piece of video. What really matters is, I don't know, getting into the playoffs at this point because you've been so bad this season. So, yeah, yesterday was fine. That's it. I'm not going to sit here and hype it up. The Suns play Miami tonight. And ordinarily my stance is, you know, it's November. It's a long way to go in the season. And, you know, it's a nice game to look forward to. And I'll be watching that tonight. I could be watching the Commanders and the Eagles. I think I'm going to be watching the Suns in Miami, which I will. A little bit more at stake tonight, I think. You know, you don't want to go 1-3 on an East Coast swing. You don't want to. They've had a couple days off. Does Chris Paul get on the floor tonight? Or again, is he being held out? They have Golden State this Wednesday. And they have Utah on Friday. They're back at home. I think I'm going to go Wednesday night. They're interesting to me just to see where they are right now. Again, we get so high, get so low off of each win in this community. And it's, you know, be consistent. And Miami's a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. And the Suns, if Chris Paul plays tonight, how many minutes? Just looking at some things a little differently. Some nights in the NBA, you have those. They've had a couple days to rest. So there's none of this, well, they're tired, they're worn out, or any of that stuff. That's tonight. I will be looking forward to that. I was at the Schwab Cup over the weekend. Our friends over at Santan Ford said, come on down, hang out. And I did in their suite. It's very nice. Padraig Harrington ran away with it. The PGA Tour's Champions event at Phoenix Country Club is one of the best kept secrets of golf. I'm standing like, I don't know, 15, 20 feet away from dudes. And there's maybe 100 of us that are following them around. It's great. I love that event. It's one of those we need to support. Padraig Harrington got the victory. You know, the Arizona State game, and I'm a little off today because the story of Virginia is really bad. If you've not seen today, you escape, you get over here to talk about the world of fun and games, as we like to say. But three football players on the Virginia football team were murdered by a former teammate. pulls a gun out, from what the police report said, and shoots and kills three Virginia football players. That happened overnight. And so I'm troubled by that today, obviously. I'm just sick about it. And it's hard to talk about these other things, but that's what we do. Okay, that story is one that is just, it's just awful. On the field on Saturday, I sat in here and watched Arizona State play Washington State. It's 3.5 hours of my life I will never get back. It's 3.5 hours of seeing Arizona State fall behind big. It's 3.5 hours of seeing mistakes by ASU. It is an injury to a quarterback. It is opportunities that went awry. It's not like Washington State is that much better. Yeah, I want to see Sean Aguano have a shot to get this job. I now believe he does not have a shot to get this job. I was with some people over the weekend of influence that are like, yeah, I like him, but, you know, is that the best that we can do? Is that the best we got? And while I can make a case still even to today that Sean Aguano inherited this roster and these aren't his guys, there were some uneven moments I felt like from a coaching standpoint, which, by the way, is normal. Head coach, you just walk in and you are able to take a magic wand and go, this is how you do it? No, you have to be put into situations as the head coach at the collegiate level. Just because you coach in high school doesn't mean you're ready for college. And I sat there and there were some uneven moments I felt like in the game on Saturday in watching it start to finish. 2-point conversion that was questionable at best. Some play calling that was questionable at best. Now, it might have been because of personnel. It might have been that. A sense of urgency off the team. It concerns me when a team comes out again and falls behind big again. Again, I can make the case that Sean Aguano should be the guy. I can also easily make the case of he's just not quite ready yet. And that there should be other candidates out there that they're looking at. I watched Oregon. Yeah, Kenny Dillingham, their coordinator, calls some great games. Can he come in here as a first-time head coach, much like Sean Aguano? He's not been a head coach. He's a coordinator at Oregon, where recruiting to Oregon versus recruiting to Tempe, Arizona, are light years apart. So I kind of looking at this job when I hear Jim Mora Jr.'s name out there at Connecticut. He just took them to a bowl game. They're going to go to a bowl game. They're bowl eligible over the weekend. He's been in the Pac-12. There's been some stuff about when he was at UCLA, the program was being looked at by the NCAA. Is that a reason to say don't bring him here? In this current state, yeah. Yes. And there's some other names too. So on the college end, like I thought watching U of A take apart UCLA and UCLA rallying late, U of A was ready to play. And yeah, you can make the argument UCLA was looking ahead to USC and it was a trap game and all that stuff. No, I'm not going to buy that. Jaden Delora was really good. And if you look at how bad U of A was when they made the coaching change and Jed Fish took over for Kevin Sumlin, they were the worst Division I program out there. It's not even debatable. And Jaden Delora made plays. Their receivers made plays. The defensive line for U of A, which has been atrocious this year, made plays. Jalen Harris was really good. And so it sets up an interesting storyline here in our state. If U of A beats Washington State this Saturday, and by the way, Jaden Delora went to Washington State. Jaden Delora said after the game on Saturday night, after they beat UCLA, some things along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, I can't wait to take them on, just wait and see. That is this Saturday, Arizona, Washington State. Very interesting game. Because if the Wildcats win that game, it sets up them beating ASU to go to a bowl game. Something nobody thought was possible when it was 70-7 ASU. What's left for ASU? All that's left for ASU is to beat U of A. And if it's U of A can go to a bowl game, if they beat ASU, then we actually have something very interesting, not just two lousy teams trying to finish out the season, as is the case usually most years in this rivalry. So all of that to say, I think on the college football end of things, Excited to see that. And on the high school end, you're going to see some content up on the website on the open division teams. You can check that content out with the high school playoffs getting started in football. All that is up on the site at sports360az.com. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, national voice. He joins me every Monday. That's next. John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. You can catch his content on sports360az.com. You can follow him over on Twitter. And of course, he is syndicated throughout the Pac-12, known across the country. John Wilner, all things Pac-12. USC, UCLA was supposed to be the mega showdown. And instead, the Bruins lay a big fat egg. Or Jed Fish's team said, not so fast. What'd you make out of USC or UCLA? And the U of A beatdown the other night.
Boy, I think it was a little bit of both. UCLA didn't play great. I think you probably was a case where they were looking ahead a little bit to USC, but also give Arizona credit. I was especially impressed that Arizona, with Arizona's physicality at the line of scrimmage, you know, their defensive line was terrific. And they did it, you know, on their second straight road game. And they had just played arguably the most physical team in the conference, Utah, on the road, turn around, go back on the road, and really did a nice job at the line of scrimmage. To me, that is the biggest, was going to be the biggest hurdle for Fish was improving the play at the line of scrimmage. And that was the most significant development I saw Saturday night.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Is U of A football back like they were ever gone? Are they better, John? Are they now a factor off that win? Have they gotten over the hump under Jed Fish?
To a certain degree, they got over the hump because they have, even though they've been losing games in conference, they've been competitive a lot of times, right? I mean, they played SC. That was, what, an eight-point game? So it's not – it hasn't been a deal all season where you could just chalk it up as that's a loss for Arizona here and there. So they've been more competitive, but certainly this was the signature win for Fish. His, what, fifth win in 2 years, by far his best one, arguably Arizona's best win, you know, in 4 or 5 years. So I think that really will help them with recruiting, you know, with ticket sales down the road. So in a signature win in every respect.
And this Saturday, Washington State. The drama, and Jaden DeLora actually spoke about his contempt for Washington State after the game at UCLA when they won on Saturday night. So you have that side of it, DeLora against his former team. If U of A wins that game, it sets up the Territorial Cup as a bowl game for U of A because they would become bowl eligible. For Arizona State, that's their only shot at even saying the words bowl game this year is beating the U of A. So I think the next 2 weeks, Tucson's going to be really interesting, John.
Yeah, sure. There's basketball games, right? I mean, you know, I'm kidding to a certain degree. But, you know, the fact that Arizona is playing meaningful games in the second half of November is great for Arizona football and a credit to Fish and the job he's done. The Washington State game will be very interesting for DeLora and his emotions, right? You can go back to last October, and he was clearly distraught by how the situation with Nick Rolovich unfolded, right? But if you're a quarterback and you're too emotional about a game, that can be a bad thing because you can force things, and all of a sudden you end up with mistakes. Washington State defense is very good, very active. They will do everything they can to disrupt his timing. I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup. You know, he'll know what Washington State's trying to do defensively, but they're also going to know how to play him and what his tendencies are. And then if Arizona can win that game, you know, and certainly coming down off the emotional victory at UCLA will be a challenge as well. Boy, that would be really interesting. You know, it'd be great for the Territorial Cup for there to be something on the line for at least one of the teams.
John Wilner with us for a few minutes. Bigger game in your mind? The answer seems to be obvious, but maybe it's not. USC, UCLA, if the Trojans win, college football playoffs still in their sights. Oregon, Utah, two big games. They're going to overlap in terms of time on the television. Which game are you more interested in, John?
Well, it has to be the USC-UCLA game because the playoff picture, right? I mean, the Pac-12 hasn't had a playoff team since 2016, And I think USC's got a real good chance if they can win out. Now, they got to beat UCLA. They got to beat Notre Dame, which is playing much better and is now ranked. And then they'd have to win the Pac-12 championship game. So that's three wins in a row against ranked opponents with a team that is fantastic on offense but not very good on defense. I think all three of those games could be close and exciting. But to me, the playoff looms over the Pac-12 like nothing else, and SC right now is the only playoff contender.
Utah is playing better. Are they catching Oregon at a very good time? We don't know about Bo Nix's injury, if it was just one play and he's able to come back in. He was jumping up and down saying, put me in, coach. We don't know, though. Is he at 100%? Is Utah now a team you don't want to face this point of the season?
Absolutely, but that's almost always the case with Utah in November, right? They do a great job of getting better as the season progresses. I think they've got Tavion Thomas. Their tailback is rounding into form. Cam Rising is healthy. You know, Oregon, it's an interesting situation for Oregon. It's obviously a huge game, and they're a little bit of rivals because they played twice last year with huge stakes. Utah beat them badly twice. So now here's the Ducks coming off a huge, hugely emotional loss to their rival Washington. And next week they got to play Oregon State, and yet they got a, you know, they got three games in a row like USC where that are you know, high stakes, high emotion. I think that, you know, I would not have expected to feel this way, but I think Utah probably is the team to beat in Eugene, even though it seems like Oregon's favored by, like, I don't know, 5 points or something. I kind of like Utah, though. It's a perfect setup for them.
Coming down the stretch, John, coach of the year in the Pac-12, can it be a coach that lost to Arizona State but was able to win at Oregon? Is it the coach that's over at USC who's done a terrific job? Coach of the year right now, Mr. Wilners, you're sitting here. I'll put you on the spot.
Well, as I'm sitting here, first thing folks should know is that they actually don't vote on the coach and player of the year until after the Pac-12 championship game. So we'll see what role that plays. Second thing people should know is there's politics, right? With coaches, there are politics. They take into account whether they like the guy, recruiting stuff, all of that. So, you know, Lincoln Riley could end up winning it, but he's going to have to win the conference championship game to have a chance. So I would say certainly Kalen DeBoer at Washington's got a good chance. Jonathan Smith at Oregon State, I think, depending on how they finish, good chance. I think Jed Fish might have a shot if Arizona can win its last two and get bowl eligible. You might see some support for Fish, partly because, you know, that would come off as unthreatening to the head coaches at Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, right? To have Fish win it is different than having one of their peers from a recruiting competitor win it.
As we're sitting here today, the openings at Colorado and Arizona State both have interims in place. Do you expect either one of those two coaches to make it and have the interim tag lifted?
No, I don't think so. And I cannot believe, I'm sure there's still some support for Sean Aguano, but man, that's, I think Aguano, it would be great staying on staff, but that's a hard one for me to see ASU promoting him at this point. Mike Sanford at Colorado, I didn't really think had much chance all along. Colorado, to me, is further ahead in their search. I think we could see a coach there in the next 2 weeks. ASU, much different deal, right? So many unknowns. Who's going to make the hire? What the NCAA situation is. And yet both schools have got that mid-December recruiting deadline kind of looming over them.
Other coaches that could move on or be moved out or could retire. What do you see right now in the conference? You know, I'm looking up at Stanford and David Shaw. They've had a rough year. I'm not saying he's going to get pushed out the door. I don't know, David Shaw, as well as you do. Could you see him saying, I think I've done what I can do here?
I don't believe David Shaw would want to leave because he's not going to want his legacy. Stanford's his alma mater. He's not going to want his legacy to be defined by a collapse of his program, right? He's not going to want people to think, you know, that his best days were long past. I don't think that they are going to make a change. Certainly, the on-field performance suggests they would, but Stanford's a different, little bit more complicated place, you know, and certainly their situation with the transfer portal has made it very difficult these days. So I don't think Shaw's going to move on. I also don't think that he's going to have a whole lot of interest from the NFL. I think that chance has potentially passed him by. So there's been so much turnover in the Pac-12 the last couple of years, right? You think Arizona, Arizona State, USC, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Washington State, they have all either just made changes or are in the process of making changes. There's not a whole lot of places to move on, and I don't see any of these guys moving to the NFL. One interesting one would be Chip Kelly, especially if the Bruins win these last two and get in the Pac-12 championship game. He may get some interest somewhere. He's still Chip Kelly, and you know, UCLA didn't exactly give him a super favorable contract last winter, and I do wonder if there are some lingering – there's a little bit of lingering frustration on Kelly's part with how he was treated, and would that cause him to have a wandering eye if another job came available? I could see that happening.
What about Justin Wilcox? You know, last year was he's going to go to Oregon. It's going to happen. It didn't happen. He stays. Really tough job. Justin Wilcox, John.
Really tough job is right. I don't. They just gave him a huge contract extension. There's no way they're going to change there. He just did fire his offensive coordinator yesterday, and that's going to be a big hire for them. They've got to get their offense fixed. Cal has got so many structural and institutional challenges, and Stanford and Cal both do. College football has changed so much in the last two or three years. Transfer portal, NIL. You know, salaries skyrocketing. Cal and Stanford they're struggling, right? They're struggling institutionally to keep up because it runs what you need to do to succeed runs so counter to what those schools believe they stand for academically that they really have to make some hard decisions about whether they're willing to do what they need to do to compete. I mean, if you look at when the transfer portal kicked in basically 3-4 years ago, and then you look at the trajectory of those two programs, they are run parallel and both are going, you know, the wins and losses are the losses are mounting as it's getting more difficult to keep your players and to get players in.
Before I get you out of here, we're talking with John Wilner. Jim Mora Jr.'s name's come across my radar down here. He has done a tremendous job at Connecticut in just his first season. They're bowl eligible. His athletic director actually has ties to Arizona State, interestingly to me. And Jeremy Chadwell at Coastal Carolina's name has come across my radar as two names that people within ASU or even outside of ASU with ties to Tempe have reached out to. What do you make out of both those guys? I think Moore Jr. to me is very interesting given his UCLA ties.
Certainly he knows the landscape out west. You know, I think ASU needs to go young and hungry, right? They need the opposite of Herm Edwards. I'm not positive that Moore is not young, and how hungry is he going to be? I'm not sure. To me, that one is a little bit worried, would be a little bit worrisome for ASU. Chadwell is certainly very interesting. You know, terrific coach. We'll see what other offers he gets. He could be a popular pick for some schools that have openings that are on ASU's level. He's not a West Coast guy. I think that's got to be taken into account. But to me, if I'm ASU, I am going as young and hungry as I can get. Somebody who has proven they can win. I mean, look, Kalen DeBoer at Washington, obviously, fantastic hire. The guy won at multiple levels. He hadn't had a chance at the, you know, Power Five level. Washington gives him a chance. Look what he's doing. To me, that is the model for ASU. Whether they get somebody who, I don't know exactly how old DeBoer is. I think he's probably mid-late 40s. I'm not saying they have to go with that age, but ASU needs somebody who's young and feels like they got a lot to prove.
Good stuff there with John Wilner. Again, check out all of his content. You can follow him over on social at Wilner Hotline. John, thanks.
Thank you very much, Brett.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, the Legends Lunch is this Friday. Now, for someone like me that loves history, that loves seeing the great days of Arizona State and what it's all about, 1983 in the Fiesta Bowl, they're going to be honored this week. I don't want to say how many years it is for Todd Hans because he's going to be like, come on, Brad, really? 40 years? Oh, I just said it. It is this coming Friday. And if you want tickets, it's at the Sheraton Phoenix downtown, the Legends Lunch. Of course, Arizona State taking down Oklahoma in that bowl game, the memorable game of the Fiesta Bowl. Thanks for being with us, Todd, for a couple of minutes. And just talk about your emotions leading up to Friday.
Yeah, well, we're excited because it sounds like we have about 40 players coming back. So that's, you know, there's not many coaches still around, but we got our, you know, head trainer coming down, Troy Young, and it's going to be exciting. We get to see people we haven't seen in so long and gather back and, you know, get that camaraderie going again.
The guy that you're most looking forward to seeing, I know there's dozens. You're going to be like, come on, Brad, really one guy? But there may be one guy. It's like, I haven't seen, you know, fill in the blank in a long, long time. And just curious on how he's doing and to reminisce with him. Is there one guy or a couple guys?
I'm excited to see Tex Wright. You know, I haven't seen him in a while. He lives here in the Valley and stuff, but I haven't seen him in a long time. And I pushed him real hard to do it. Another guy, I'm not sure if he's going to make everything, but hopefully the Friday luncheon is Mitch Callahan. I spoke with him. I was on the committee, so I was working hard to try to get everybody to come. And you know, I'm just excited to see all the guys, but you know, a couple of people I really haven't seen in so long. It'd be nice.
When you get together with the guys, what is it that you talk about most in regards to this game? Because the Fiesta Bowl and able to win a talented Oklahoma team in the day, what is it that you talk most about that day and that game?
Well, you know, that game was, it was a unique matchup being with the Big Eight against the Pac-10. And, you know, they ran the triple option, which, you know, with us with the number one defense, that, you know, yeah, we had the number one defense, but nobody in our conference run triple option like that, you know? So it was a good challenge for them. You know, I thought that was a good, you know, part of the game. And then, you know, just coming back like we did, we were down a little bit the first half, and then Luis hit a nice long field goal right before the half. And I think that sparked us. And I was a little nervous, I guess, the first half and had a few errant throws. The legend, Ken Dawson, you know, had reminded me on air and stuff, you know, oh, he's just throwing it anywhere, he said, or something of that sort. I saw it, and it was funny, but I hit the guy in the back, you know, I mean, you know, the defender in the back, you know, it was trying to hit him in between, you know, the safety in the corner, and the corner ran back with them. And, you know, it was like, you know, it was a back shoulder before they ever did back shoulders, you know what I mean? You know, that when we did back shoulders, that was a bad pass. Now it's, you know, it's they try to do it all the time. So it's a totally different game that way. But yeah, it was just, you know, watching the you know, that film on it, the air on it with Ken Dawson and Charlie Jones. It was pretty exciting.
The event is this Friday. It's at the Sheridan Phoenix downtown, the Legends Lunch. They do it every year at Arizona State. I think it's terrific to honor the teams and the personalities from years past. There are still some tickets available, to my understanding. And that, again, is this Friday. Todd Hahn's with us for a couple of minutes, the quarterback. The personalities on this team, you know, Vernon Maxwell is someone that in the NFL I dealt with a little bit. Darrell Clack, of course. He had some really interesting personalities and very good players that would go on from college to the NFL. A little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, we had it without a doubt, especially, you know, I think we lost 8 guys to the NFL off that defense alone, you know, and we know what kind of talent Clack was. And, you know, Ronnie Brown just switched to wide receiver, and, you know, he had a great pro career. I mean, it's just there was a lot of talent back then, and we were, you know, I credit our staff, you know, Darrell Rogers put great coaches around him. You know, and I think that was his best quality is that, you know, we always had good coaches. We'd lose them to the NFL just about every year, you know, but, you know, he got them in there. And so I did think that was a big, you know, attribute to, you know, what he did.
If you had transfer portal and name, image, likeness dollars, Todd, what would you have capitalized on that back in the day?
We were taught, you know, you got to stick it out and, you know, earn your way and, you know, wait for your turn and all that stuff. And, you know, I end up having to do that. Unfortunately, it happened, you know, what happened to Sandy. But, you know, I was ready to go. And Darrell Rogers told me, you know, on the plane on the way over to Eugene, he's like, are you ready? I go, I'm ready. Yeah, let's go. And Sandy got the start, and unfortunate injury for him. And I took over, never looked back. You know, I was, starter for 2 years after that, So, I think it was just, it was a great time for us.
When you watch the game today, is it the same game? How different is it when you watch it?
Yeah, so their offense is different. You know, they're doing shotgun with the, run pass option, that kind of stuff. I would have liked to try something like that. I mean, I was under the center the whole time. I don't think we did a shotgun back then. And so I would have, I thought it would have been nice because, you don't have to run very much, but just once in a while, just to keep them honest and then, pull it out and throw it, I think that would have been, kind of fun. The transfer portal, like we talked about, that didn't sound like fun to me, because you're getting new players. I mean, how many guys, did we see leave ASU and then how many came in? It was like a whole new team, and that's kind of, that's hard to get that unity going and how the camaraderie, because you're not used to the people, and then you're learning a new offense that fast. And, it helps when you're doing the same offense for 2 or 3 years, you can, really get it down and stuff. So, all that stuff, it hurt college football just because there's people just jumping ship, at the drop of a hat, guy gets benched. Okay. I have a transfer. And I'm like, whatever, that's not how it works. That's not how I was raised anyway.
Well, and I think it's even down to the point, Todd, where if a player has a rough couple days of practice and a coach gets on his case, I'm going to go in the portal. It's not even about playing time in some of these kids' places. And this isn't old man get off my lawn rant by me. It's just I see the game today and there is a lack of, hey, you need to be coached up, man. Tough love, that's part of the deal. Overcoming adversity, that is part of the deal. If you're always going to jump ship to try to find the easiest landing spot, it's going to come back to bite you in the butt. And like in your space, you're sitting there, you're wearing your Nova Home Loan shirt. You've gone on from Arizona State. You've had a successful career. Tell us about what you're doing these days.
So, yeah, I'm a mortgage loan officer. I've been doing it for over 20 years. And it's not the greatest business right now with interest rates so high. But, I've been doing it for a long time. I have a lot of customer base and I enjoy it. I kind of work my own schedule, and I can work from home. I can, work at the office. Mm-hmm. I have, a lot of freedom that way. And I like that part. I'm basically self-employed because it's all commission. So, I've been doing it for a long time though, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
How did football help you in the business that you're in now?
Well, I think with contacts and, sphere of influence, going to, events and, being able to people recognizing, the name and that kind of stuff. I think, it opens doors a little bit more. And, I think that really helped the most. I mean, it also kept me disciplined. I'm very regimented. I like to do things, the same all the time, and, it just keeps me going and, just knowing that I have to, follow my instructions or what I want to do. And, cause it's, you're working on your own and if I don't, work at it, nobody else is going to do it for me. And, right. I'm not going to make any money. So it's self-motivated. That's for sure.
Life lessons. I'm the same way. Life lessons. I mean, I walked away from Channel 3 and KTAR and said, I'm going to go do my own thing. And the life lessons that sports poured into me, it's, you got to get up every day, man. You're going to get beat up some days. And some days you're going to be on top of the world, but you can't get too high. You can't get too low. You just got to be.
That's right. Just keep plugging and, don't stop. And, I think never giving up is a good, quality.
What do you make out of the current state of the program, Todd? I mean, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's seen what's gone on the field. What do you make out of what's going on?
It's hard. I mean, early on in the season, watching them play and part of, the season before, I mean, I saw no passion or anything, and I just saw a nice, show on Pat Tillman, you know, and all his passion. And I mean, that's what, you know, you need in today's world. I mean, it just, they had showed no passion. And I think they're playing, you know, harder now. But I think we're lacking talent, you know, to the point where, you know, to compete, you know, SC is bringing in all the people they want and keeping all the people they want. And we're losing all the good ones and, you know, bringing in some pretty good ones, but it's just, you know, not enough, you know? So, I mean, I'm not, you know, it needs a change. We need a nice coach, you know, it's going to help build our program. I mean, it just seems like that everything revolves too fast. You know, I mean, I know, you know, I mean, Herm had it, you know, he had 5 years or something to do it. And, you know, it didn't work out. So I'm glad we're moving on to another coach. I just don't know who that is at this point. And I'm looking for somebody new and young and innovative, you know, and can, you know, recruit, because that's, you know, that's going to be the bottom line.
What are, if fans come to Friday's event, what are they going to get? Stories, emotions, hugs, cheers, laughs. What are they going to get if they come to this Friday's Legends Lunch? And you're speaking, I would assume. I would think you would take a mic, Todd, right?
I hope not, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I, you know, being the captain and all that stuff, you know, I mean, one of the grand marshals for the parade, you know, for the homecoming parade. I'm like, oh boy, you know, I've never been one of those before.
Put your hand right away, you know.
I don't know if I can, you know. Yeah, it'll be fun. But yeah, I mean, it's just gonna, you know, when you go see a people you haven't seen in years and years, it's just exciting and fun and, you know, festive. And, you know, the weather's going to be nice. It's going to be early game. And, you know, I think it's just going to be, it's going to be fun just to, you know, it's like reunions, you know, you go to a high school reunion or you go to college reunion. It's just something that it's always, to me, I enjoy it because it's just, get to see people you haven't seen in so long and laugh and enjoy them.
It was a great time. It was a great game. I appreciate the conversation. It was a great conversation. Todd, thanks.
All right, Brad. I appreciate your time too.
There's Todd Hans, and we're back with more after this timeout.